Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Paul McDonald, alongside Brian Davis, Kev Nayland, and Deepak Gohil. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi, Paul.
After Sunday's overtime road win in Chicago, the San Francisco 49ers look to build on that success, going into Cleveland to take on the 2-10 Browns. While the 49ers have seen steady progress over the course of Blaine Gabbert's time under center, the Cleveland Browns are currently on a 7-game losing skid. Can the 49ers go into the house that Johnny built and come away with a second consecutive win? Brian?
Absolutely. Of course we can. I definitely wouldn't say it's the house that Johnny built, though. These are tough, tough people that have had to endure Browns football pretty much for all of their lives. So I think it's definitely the house that the dog pound built over there. This is probably the most confident I've been going into a game all season. And for me, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, it's just a matter of how many we win by, surely. I mean, even Joe Montana's come out this week and endorsed Blaine Gabbert, and it doesn't get any... There is no higher praise in the game than that, is there?
That's right. I think that's come out today, hasn't it? Deepak, looking at the stats for the game, the Cleveland Browns are favourites, but only by 1.5 points. Surely it's got to look good for the 49ers going in. We are on the rise, and they are, you know, they're really struggling at the moment.
Yeah, I fully concur with what Brian said. Off the back of that win, and also the fact that Cleveland are horrific, and that's a franchise that's in real disarray, and the added advantage of having Johnny Manziel playing against us, I think all the pieces are in place in terms of the opposition. I think if we play a steady, focused game, do the things, execute correctly, you know, Brian's right. It's how many are we going to win by? And I'm very confident that we will come away with a decent win, a 2-game win streak, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. A little bit sad that I'm not going to be at the game. It was one that I'd penciled to go to. But I can tell you now, people in Cleveland are rabid football fans. And to be denied success when the team packed their bags and magically became the Baltimore Ravens doesn't sit well with them. But they are diehard fans. So the fans are going to be out in force, no matter how cold it's going to be in Cleveland. But I think the team that's going to be hot is the 49ers. We're going to win.
Kev, the Cleveland Browns are very much in a similar sort of position now to how the 49ers were, say, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, aren't they? Complete disarray. They don't know which way to turn to sort of come away with a win. And now they are chopping and changing quarterbacks like it's underwear.
They are. But if we look at the stats for the season, we compare Blaine Gabbert and Johnny Football, everything is pretty much the same across the board. Attempts, completions, yardage, passer rating. It's just that it appears that Cleveland can find a way to lose any game this season. They find new and spectacular ways to lose games this season as well.
Yeah.
Looking at the stats, pretty evenly matched, really. The 49ers are still 32nd in points scored. The Browns are just two places ahead of us with 30th. We're scoring 178 points. They've scored 216 so far. Points allowed, though, there is a big difference. The Cleveland Browns are 31st. We are now 19th. So we do have a better defense than the Cleveland Browns do. Looking at the injuries that we've got going into this game, Garrett Celek has now been put on the IR. That was pretty much expected, wasn't it?
Yes. And going back to our injuries, you know, and I mentioned this in the previous show, that, you know, whilst we're still fairly talent stacked, we have lost a lot of players to injury. Our first and second string running backs are both out for the rest of the year. Celek out is another big deal because Blaine Gabbert likes to do the rollout passes and the short dump throws to his tight ends, you know. So it is going to hurt us. But again, I think, you know, we can build up from the confidence that we've had. But when we won in Chicago, I think even though we have got Celek out, we will have enough in the tank to get through this one and bring another win before we go back to Levi's.
Yeah, I think this is going to be another step forward in Blaine Gabbert's maturity process as well. He really could, if we set our minds to it, he could go off in this game. particularly, I think, if Kilgore starts at centre, which is probably only going to help him in that process. And I think it's probably now got to the stage where if Kilgore's fully fit, we need to sit Martin down until next year and have a look at, you know, quite what the hell's gone on there, because he's clearly been absolutely dreadful all season, and PFF are ranking him as their worst centre, I still think, at this point. So, you know, a win in this game and a win versus Detroit or St. Louis, or Detroit and St. Louis, it really could seal Tom Sula's return for next season, which, when you think about it, even just 2 or 3 weeks ago was almost unthinkable, based on the kind of direction that we were going in and the off-field problems and the quarterback situation. But if you also go on the flip side of that, a loss in this game and a loss in maybe one or two of those games, which are very right now are very winnable games, could potentially see him fired. So his career is really potentially on a knife edge right now. So this is the kind of game that we've really got to go in. And if Tom Sula is coaching for his future career in the San Francisco 49ers sideline, then he needs this win as much as anybody else.
There's definitely a positive feeling around the team at the moment, certainly with the fans. And we talked about the game against Chicago a couple of days ago in our review show. And we didn't necessarily concentrate on the win quite as much as we would have thought in hindsight, did we? Which, you know, it was a great win. Do you think some of it was slight shock that we actually won that game, considering the type of game that it was?
I wouldn't say shock. I mean, it was such a yo-yo game of football, and I think both sides could have had a valid right to feel upset for losing it, and, you know, and the associated chest beating to say, hey, we deserve to win it. But fact of the matter is we won that game, and we deserved it, I think. I think Blaine Gabbert certainly deserved the win, despite the fact that Chicago lost it rather than we won it. It was our game. So we actually should have given the team a bit more credit than we actually did. We should have actually sort of, you know, just reveled in the fact that we actually won a very difficult game under difficult circumstances and ultimately in the most improbable way. So, yeah, we should have perhaps milked it a little bit more. But, hey, we're going to win again on Sunday, so we can juice that one for everything we can. So
yeah, definitely. Yes. It's not like the 49ers are going to go out printing copies of DVDs of last Sunday's win either, is it? Let's face it, it wasn't particularly a great game, was it? We just seemed to come alive in the last 4 minutes and in overtime. So ultimately, though, that was when it counted.
We are going into this game, as we've said, 1.5-point underdogs, but that doesn't count for anything. I mean, it is literally a coin toss, isn't it? 54% chance of winning for the Browns, so it's 46% chance of winning for the 49ers. That game definitely is a coin toss. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff Eastern, which makes it a 6 o'clock kickoff here in the UK, the second consecutive 6 o'clock kickoff for us. It's a nice, decent time to watch the game. One thing I do want to bring up, if you're not already aware, the Week 15 game against the Cincinnati Bengals has been fixed out. That's now a 9:25 p.m. kickoff, but we'll talk about that much later on. What else have we got to say about this game?
We get to see an old favourite. And hopefully we'll see a lot of him if we keep making Cleveland punt. Because Andy Lee's their punter.
Of course.
Yeah, and Dante Whitner as well.
Yeah, Whitner's at Cleveland, that's right.
Yeah.
That brings up somewhere that we definitely have to improve then. If Andy Lee's their punter, our special teams definitely need to improve.
Yeah, well, Pinion needs to follow up on his great performance in Chicago. But more so, I think the special teams need to start making big plays in their tackling and their coverage, because we were very close to giving that game away, weren't we, with a straight from the kickoff after Blaine Gabbert's touchdown on Sunday. So I would hope that unit has been specifically targeted this week for extra duties on the practice field and, you know, looking at what they're doing. Maybe Jarrod Hayne, like we've said previously in the past, needs to get in there and show them a bit of form tackling.
And in their terrible season, it's one area where Cleveland are actually quite good. It's on their special teams. Their returns and things are a lot better than, well, a hell of a lot better than ours. But they're in the top half for returns and what they've allowed to be returned as well.
Maybe we should be asking the question, do you think this game is going to be won and lost on special teams? Or are we going to get the business done on the field without the use without the need of special teams.
I really think we can get this game won on offense. If you're looking for bold predictions this week, I think Gabbert will go for over 300 yards and a couple of TDs. I think Drone can probably get, I don't know, 150 all-purpose yards easily against this kind of team. And I think we might even see another defensive touchdown this week. And we're going to go over 30 points, boys.
Whoa.
That's how confident I am.
They are bold predictions.
Fair shout. I'm with you.
So let's get this right. You've got Gabbert with 300-plus yards.
Yep.
You've got Sean Drone with 150-plus yards.
All-purpose, yeah.
You've got a defensive touchdown.
Yep.
All-purpose. You've got a defensive touchdown.
Yep.
And 30 points.
Bring it on, baby.
There's got to be a beer on that. I'm betting a beer on that one.
if that
happens,
why can't it happen? why can't it happen?
I'm not saying it can't. And in a wonderful world, it will. I just don't know how wonderful the world. I'd love to see it. Don't get me wrong. I would absolutely love to see it. And I can see some of those happening. I just can't see all of those happening. That's all I'm saying.
If
it can't happen in Cleveland, it can't happen anywhere.
Exactly, Kev.
Well, yeah. my point being that look how buoyant everybody is because we won one game. You know, that's all it takes. We're not greedy. We just want to win games here and there. So I think this mood of optimism that we've all got is justified. You know, we've got a right to be buzzing right now.
Yeah, we've kind of speculated about whether we should not lose games on purpose, but is it a bad thing by losing and getting a better draft pick at the end of the season? But you can't take that feeling away on a Monday morning of strolling into work knowing that your team has won the day before. It's brilliant.
Yeah,
it is definitely. You go in with a spring in your step. Well, I've put it out there. I will buy the beers for you, Brian, if all of those come off.
Fantastic. Okay. An all-day session, then. I'll be up at 8.
I'll join you for breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, what have I done?
But yeah,
I only said I was buying them for breakfast.
But it's all right, I'll buy my own. I usually do.
But if you look at the way that the offense is shaped right now, I think we're certainly going to see a lot of dump-offs to the likes of Drone and certainly to McDonald and to Bell as tight ends. But I think after that overtime play last Sunday, the fact that Gabbert's got that deep ball in his locker, I think I'd like to see a couple of downfield shots, sideline passes, you know, outside the numbers. And if the Browns are going to be trying to stack their box just to think that they can stop our run game, then if those wide receivers are in man coverage, then take a few shots downfield and see what happens. What's the worst that's going to happen? I still think we're going to win the game, even if Gabbert throws a pick or two. And so,
fourth downs as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because Stephanie's still got to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, because we're over 50% on fourth downs, and they're one of the worst on allowing fourth downs.
One of the things that we definitely need to step up on, which I only noticed after we'd recorded the last show, there was only one trip into the red zone against Chicago. We definitely need to sort that out and make sure we get into the red zone more and make sure we get the touchdowns when we are in the red zone. Right, we are shortly going to go to Kev for the pick six. Before we do, though, just want to say a quick couple of shout-outs. Hello to Andre Keener Toy Nerd from the Niner Empire, Germany, and hello to Kiefer Meredith from 49ers Empire. One of the things that we're going to be doing over the next coming months is trying to expand the show throughout Europe and throughout the USA, and get more and more listeners and just make this a rather wonderful show. So thanks to those guys who are going to be helping us out doing that over the next coming months. Another thing that we wanted to shout out, Brian, you brought this up privately, didn't you, is mentioning our game day thread. We do have a game day thread running every week on the Frequency 49 show page, and it's an NFL-wide game day thread. So it actually runs for something like 5 days in the end, because it'll be running from tomorrow for the Thursday night game, and it runs right the way through the weekend and includes the Monday night game as well. So always very, very active, that. I think we had over 1,000 comments on the last one, didn't we, for last weekend?
Yeah, we generated a lot of traffic, and plus the fact that, hey, we were in a very close game right up till the death. So And it was rivalry weekend, so lots of close games going on everywhere. Yes. It was a brilliant, brilliant weekend. Excellent.
So make sure you get involved in the game day thread. It's always good to have lots of new people in there as well. And if you are an admin on a 49ers-based Facebook group and you'd like to help us out spreading the word about the Frequency 49 show, please get in touch, let us know, and we'll give you all the details that are needed for helping us spread that word out. Right, Kev. It's time for the pick six. That means handing the show over to your good self.
Okay. So, quick recap on last week. We had three pick six last week, more than we managed for the rest of the season, as Martin Hughes, Liz J. Watson, and David Foster all got all six right. And it was David Foster's first attempt at a pick six, and he got the lot.
Right. No, hang on a minute. Well done to everybody that got the pick six, but to get the pick six on your very first attempt. I remember somebody else doing that and absolutely got lambasted, and everybody was going to be calling supervisors and international adjudicators. So, seriously though, well done to everybody that got pick six for last week. It was a great rash of games, and to get all six correct, very well done.
Indeed, that's a pretty good achievement on your first time. Yep.
And especially when you're not running it as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never going to end, is it? It's just never going to end.
Okay, so with the hosts, Gary led the way with 5. Brian and Paul got 4. Deepak got 3. I got 2. It would have been 3, apart from I was obviously taking something and changed my Carolina pick in Sunday afternoon about an hour before the game.
Ooh.
Overall, Jordan McDonald leads the way on 31. Graham Ross a point behind, and then Matt Healy and Neil Jepson another point behind that. Gary has now joined Paul as the leaders of the hosts on 27. Brian's got over his poor start and is now on 26, so he's just a point behind you two.
Only I tried at the beginning.
Deepak's on yes. Deepak's on 24, and I'm on 18.
Deepak, what happened?
I'm joint 24th.
Not saying anything.
Joint 24th.
I'm joint 24th, yeah.
At least you're not on
Which
your
is
own.
Which is a bad going, you're considering there's only 18 people have picked every week.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm still going backwards as well, yeah. Okay, so on to the picks. We've got 5
before
of
we do,
the... Yeah.
Before we do, Kev, guys, are we going to play a little game here? And are we actually going to guess which one of these picks is Kev's tie for the week?
Yeah.
So if I run through and let you know what they are, then. So we've got 6 games, 5 at 6 o'clock and 1 at 9:25. So we've got the Falcons at the Panthers, the Redskins at the Bears, the Steelers at the Bengals, the Chargers at the Chiefs, 49ers at the Browns, and the Cowboys at the Packers.
I've got it.
Yeah, so have I. Deepak, do you think you know which one?
Yeah, I think it's the Redskins game.
Yeah, Washington against the Bears, I think, is Kev's bad tie day.
I think it's Cowboys Packers.
We'll see when we get around to it then. Okay.
Ah, he's gonna hold this. Go on then, Kev.
So, Falcons at the Panthers. Brian.
I'm taking the Carolina Panthers all the way. I think they came out the gate slowly last Sunday. I think they obviously got word that they'd won the division, and they had their heads up in the clouds somewhere, and eventually they came back into it at the end to win the game, held off New Orleans. But I think playing at home against the Falcons, that's an easy pick for me.
Okay. Deepak?
Carolina, they can't do anything wrong these days, can they? And not only that, they're actually enjoying their game. They're enjoying playing the game as well. New Orleans, yeah, a bit of a sticky start, but I can't see Cam Newton being bothered too much by the lowly Falcons. Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta. Carolina.
Okay, Paul.
I've got to go with the guys. Carolina are 12-0. They're at home. The Atlanta Falcons are 6-6. It's a no-brainer, that one. I'm very surprised that the Panthers are only 7-point favourites on that one. I'd have thought they'd be at least double figures favourites. Did anybody see Cam Newton ripping the ball out of one of the ball boys to go and give to somebody in the crowd after scoring?
Yeah, it was. So the referee took it away and wouldn't give it to him.
Yeah.
And then the ref gave it to one of the equipment managers, and he went and helped himself and ran back and gave it to a little kid. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, fair play to Cam Newton on that one. Yeah, Carolina Panthers for me, Kev.
Okay, and I'm going with the Panthers as well. But don't rule out me having any last-minute mad ideas about changing that before game day starts. So, game two, the Redskins at the Bears. And Paul?
Both teams are level. The Redskins and the Bears lost last week. The Redskins were expected to win, though. It's in Soldier Field. If we could go into Soldier Field and win, so can the Redskins.
Okay. Deepak?
Yeah. Close game. Chicago, on the back of losing to us, might be going into two back-to-back home losses. Redskins a bit Jekyll and Hyde, but I think on their day they probably could beat Chicago. So that means Chicago will win by default. Yeah, I'll go with Chicago. Very close game. No logic to it, but I think it'll be a close game. Chicago will win.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah, I'm taking Chicago as well. I think they're going to come out knowing that they probably should have won last week. There was just a couple of special teams errors with and problems with the kicking unit that maybe cost them the game ultimately last week. Washington, funny side. I thought they were going to beat Dallas. Not I wouldn't say easily because it's a big rivalry game, but I did think that they were going to put out a much better performance than what they did on the Monday Night Football last week. So, yeah, I've got to take Chicago at home. I don't think they'll lose two on the bounce at home, especially, you know, they're only 2 weeks removed from beating Green Bay in Lambeau Field.
Okay, so I can say that this is not my tie.
What?
Yay!
I've got the Redskins to beat the Bears and make the Bears the first team to lose consecutive home games to teams that came in with a 0-5 away record.
Good stats. Good knowledge.
Okay, game three. Steelers at the Bengals. And Deepak.
Steelers at the Bengals. That's going to be another difficult game. And it's also going to be one of those AFC North rivalry games as well. I think Pittsburgh will just nudge it. Just nudge it. Difficult game. Could go either way. That could be your end-of-the-world tie game, actually. But I think Pittsburgh will just sneak that one.
Okay, Brian.
This is a really tough game. Both teams are coming off massive wins last week. Oh, it could go either way. I'm going to take the home team, but I'm not very confident about it, I have to say. I think it could be one of those games where it's a proper old-fashioned smash-mouth football and someone's going to win it with a field goal as time expires.
Okay, Paul.
Agree with Brian. This game is very, very close, and Deepak as well. The Steelers won by 35 last week, and the Bengals won by 34 last week. Okay, against slightly different teams. Home field advantage, but by the slimmest of margins, Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, and I'm going for the Steelers. I think as long as Big Ben can stay fit, I think he will just keep lobbing it out there to his barrage of wide receivers. And D'Angelo will keep running it up the middle. So, game four, the Chargers at the Chiefs. Paul?
Don't know about this game. Chargers are just pitiful. It's at Arrowhead, so I think I'm going to have to give Kansas the edge on this one. They're actually double points favourites on this one, giving up 10 points. So, yeah, Kansas to win this one.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, nice easy one, Kansas City.
And Deepak.
Yeah, it's my de facto choice whenever San Diego are playing and you have to predict who's going to win. You know it's not going to be them, so I'm going with Kansas City.
Yeah, Chiefs are on a roll. So are the Chargers. They're just rolling in different directions. Chiefs to win. Game five, 49ers at the Browns. Brian.
San Francisco 49ers all the way. It's a no-brainer. It's an easy call. It's almost as easy as picking the Chiefs to beat the Chargers.
Okay. Paul.
49ers. Absolutely. Definitely. 100% behind them. And big. Okay. Two scores.
What? Two safeties?
No.
Deepak.
Although, who knows?
I think we'll win this one. And have our is it going to be our first two-game win streak of the season? I'm trying to think.
Yeah, yes, it will be.
Yeah, I think we will usher in the AFC North rivals of Cleveland on the back of two straight wins. So, yeah, we're going to win this.
Okay. Now, initially, this was going to be my tie because I just thought that the whole game would get abandoned as Jed York and Jimmy Haslam had a fight to decide who was the worst owner of a football team in the league.
MTV Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it. I'm going to pick the 49ers to win.
Hey, it's been a while since we've all predicted the Niners to win. I love it.
This must be the first time this season, surely.
Yeah.
Game six, the Cowboys at the Packers. Deepak.
Green Bay. Dallas, unimpressive to say the least. Even though they did squeak out a win. Green Bay at home, and their fans must be wondering what is going on, because I quite fancied them to challenge Arizona in the NFC, and Carolina. It was going to be one of those three, but Green Bay have slipped to form. I think Dallas are on the downslide. I think it's a good opportunity for Green Bay to pick up winning ways just before the playoffs.
Okay, Paul.
Green Bay, got to be Green Bay all the way. Home field advantage for Lambeau. They're giving up 7.5 points. 8-4 record versus Dallas's 4-8 record. Yes, they won on Monday, but they won against what is an awful team in an awful division. Green Bay, definitely.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that. It's definitely going to be Green Bay for me on this one, and just can't pick Dallas anyway. No one wants to pick Dallas, do they?
It wasn't going to be originally, but this is my tie, just because I ran out of other games to pick from there. I was originally going to pick Packers just because they're not the Cowboys, but I'm just going to pick the tie because I've ran out of other options at this point.
Oh, Kev, come on. You've got a week to think of what the reason is.
Yeah.
I'd got my reason for the previous game, and then I thought, I can't do it. I've got to pick the 49ers.
We'll think of one. By Sunday, you'll have a reason why this one's going to be a tie. And it's going to be something to do with Greg Hardy exploding in the middle of the field.
Possibly.
Stoned to death by Dallas WY.
Oh, yes, I could imagine that one, definitely. Right, that is it for the pick six. We should have the pick six up on the Facebook group by now, by the time you're listening to the show. So make sure to get your picks in nicely. Don't leave it too late, because you'll only forget, and then you'll be so upset when you do. That is it for this episode. Thanks to Andrew Mitchell for running this pick six behind the scenes. Thanks to you, the listeners, the reason we produced the show in the first place. Thanks to AudioNautics.com for our theme music. The discussions will always continue on Twitter at Frequency 49 and on Facebook, search the Frequency 49 show. Say goodbye, boys.
Bye, guys.
Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.
On behalf of Deepak, Kev, I'm Brian, I've been Paul McDonald, you've been the audience, and this has been the Frequency 49 show. Bye for now.